All right. Good day. How is everybody doing? Welcome to 97.1 KSPT. Let's get right into it. We are getting right into the middle of it with Toshi. Sandpoint solutions-oriented approach, community and cooperation. And today we're looking to explore creating and fostering positive opportunities in the dating and intimate space. So blessed today to have three incredibly charming, intelligent, and beautiful guests. Lending the female perspective is Amanda Bailey. Amanda is the owner and operator of Luna Alchemy Company, where she employs vibrational sound therapy to support nervous system regulation, relaxation, and inner recalibration. If I could just fawn over you for just a moment, Amanda, one of the reasons I invited you here is because I've noticed that when we're in the yoga studio, anytime somebody walks through the door and sees you, they drop their bag, they drop what they're doing, they run over, they give you a hug, they take a picture with you. You're just so incredibly well-loved by the people in the community. So I thought you'd be a great representative in this dynamic. So just say hi to Sandpoint and tell us three things that make you happy.
Well, hello, Sandpoint. Thank you for having me on this show. I guess I absolutely love this community. I love all things energy or frequency healing, and I love all things nature related.
Well, you know, keep that front of mind, because before the show is over and into the future, I do want to talk more about vibrational therapy, vibrational energies. And so maybe we'll kind of just talk about that before we lead out tonight and just or today and learn a little bit more about that. Now, lending the male perspective is Ben Johnson. Now, Ben's a successful CPA. And honestly, we're super grateful that he made time for us right now during what is really like his busiest time of year, you know, the tax season. And once again, just like with Amanda, I have personal experience with Ben, and I knew that he'd be an amazing fit for this dynamic because he is very charming, very well connected, has a lot of friends, so well liked. And beyond that, he's always upbeat and uplifting. He's always in a good mood. And that's something that I value about him. And last but certainly, oh, I'm sorry, before we move forward, Ben, just say hi to Sandpoint. Tell us three things that make you happy.
What's up, Sandpoint? Love being outside, active outdoors, this community, and love seeing it snow.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to see the flakes.
It is nice. And, you know, a little different driving conditions, right? But this is something we've been waiting for a long time. So we're definitely blessed and happy about that. So last and certainly not least, we have couples and family counselor Dr. Edmund Knighton with us. If Ben and Amanda represent the binary perspective of men and women, Dr. Knighton represents the voice of reason with the inside track to helping us find, you know, healthy and, you know, health and harmony in this dialogue, in that space. So, Edmund, again, just so blessed to have you here. Why don't you go ahead and say hi to Sandpoint? Let us know what really floats you, what makes you happy in this life.
Hi, Sandpoint. I love snow camping, just being in the silence out there by myself. I love dark retreats, being in darkness and silence for a day or a week at a time. I love yoga. That's one of my big connections to you.
Yeah, that's right. That's the space we have shared together.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that challenge when you say you like silence and you've taken opportunity to kind of take those daily retreats and so forth? Have you heard of the soundproof room that they've created in China where they challenge people that if you can stay within it for an hour, they'll give you like, you know, a large sum of money?
Yeah.
Yeah, and nobody's even made it past like 47 minutes, right?
Right.
What's that all about? What do you think that's about? When you enjoy silence, why does that level of silence?
Well, it's not silent in there because it's so silent that you start to hear your heartbeat and you feel your blood pulsing, and the sound of your breath sounds like an enormous tidal wave. And I think it's a little overwhelming because we don't have an opportunity to sort of titrate into that. And that's the reason for the challenge, right? Because they tested it out enough times to figure out.
There's a part of me that thinks that I would be able to pull it off, that I would be able to meditate for a certain amount of time. But then there's the pragmatic side of me that realizes, well, if 10 billion people haven't been able to do it, there's no way I'm going to be the one that breaks that barrier. I'm not that strong, you know. But I also think about, you know, Dr. Roger Bannister, the first person to break the 4-minute mile. Mm-hmm. And he was told that it would be absolutely impossible to do and not to lend any effort in that direction because it had never been done. And then after he did it, it, within like the next 10 years, another 143 people were able to do it. So yeah. There's something to be said about the measure and the power of belief and knowing that, well, if you can do it, so can I. And that's why I say, like, if those many people can't do it, maybe I can't recite, you know, the words to Fletch in my mind enough to get through an entire hour. All right.
Let me give you another quick possibility. I went and did a 7-day silent retreat in the darkness, and I came in without any expectations. And I found out after I came out that a lot of long-term 2-week meditants in a lot of different places came with expectations that it would be no problem for them, and they dissociated. And so I think it may be the opposite. Instead of expecting that we can do it or having some enthusiasm that we can, coming in with humility and openness that, you know, maybe we can and maybe we can't, because the lack of expectation for me meant that I never got disoriented and never had an issue in 7 days in the darkness.
Well, definitely something we should look to and explore in the future. Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and when we'll return, we'll get right into it. We'll talk about attraction and courting. We're at 97.1 KSPT.
Did you know Missoula is home to one of the top 50 outdoor amphitheaters worldwide? Nestled along the banks of the Blackfoot River, the Kettle House Amphitheater welcomes world-class entertainment right to your back door. Recent announcements include
Lord Huron, June 7th. Young the Giant with Cold War Kids, July 29th. Camp, August 17th and 18th. OAR, August 19th, and many more.
Full lineup, tickets, and more at logjampresents.com. The Kettle House Amphitheater, brought to you by Groove Solventless.
Hi, this is Brian Ivey, service manager at Pierce Auto Center in beautiful Sagal, Idaho. This month, we are offering $50 off all factory scheduled maintenance. Just mention this ad. As always, we can provide same day, if not next day, appointments for maintenance items such as oil changes, tire rotations. Every vehicle that goes in our shop receives a complimentary multi-point inspection. And remember, our certified techs work on all makes and models, including Subaru and Toyota. Pierce Auto Center.
Hi, this is Jenny with Feedco, your local family-owned feed stores. Chick season has officially arrived, with the first order of chicks arriving February 14th. We will keep you updated on the breeds coming to the stores on our Facebook at Feedco. Pre-order of the chicks that are available can be done in-store or over the phone at Rathrum 208-687-2632 or Otis 509-928-3616. Happy chick season!
Hear that? Exactly. That's the sound of McDonald's Extra Value Meal. Sausage McMuffin with egg, hash brown, small hot coffee, and sweet golden silence. All for only $5. Price and participation may vary. Promotion pricing may be lower than meal pricing. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
One of the best things about winter in North Idaho is bird watching. Get a close-up view of our local feathered friends when you provide them with birdseed and suet from the co-op. Choose a brightly colored feeder, fill it with seed, and hang it near sliding doors or windows. Chickadees, nuthatches, sparrows, and house finches, among others, will appear at your bird feeders over time. In the spring, add hummingbird feeders to the lineup for year-round enjoyment. The co-op stocks a wide variety of bird seed, nut and berry foods, nutrient-dense suet and suet feeders, as well as a great selection of beautiful feeder options. They can hang just about anywhere and are easily filled and enjoyed. Make birdwatching your new favorite winter pastime with products from the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820, and on the web at coopgasandsupply.com.
News Talk 97.1.
Lift me up from that place where I was feeling solo. Pull me out of these graves.
And like I've said before, that is Lift Me Up by Adam Lasher. Take a listen sometime, because that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to lift up the community. You're back at 97.1 KSPT. We're getting right in the middle of it with Toshi. So let's talk a little bit about the inception of the relationship dynamic, right? Attraction and courting. Amanda, when you think of the most successful relationships your friends have had, what were the more common attractors that brought these people together? Was it that they worked together and learned each other that way? Was it that there was an overwhelming physical attraction? Did they share behaviors and activities? What do you think were the attractors in the more successful relationships you've witnessed?
Ooh, I think some of the happiest relationships I've seen of my friends have been built on like shared values, shared common interests, meeting in the same spaces or work environments, having the same sense of humor and respect, their emotional availability. As we get older, I think things change when we meet people. What matters, what used to be attractive or physical attraction when we were younger, I think that lessens as we get older and we look for ways to attract people on more common ground versus just physical attraction.
Oh, that's a super valid thought. You know, thinking about the transitions you make, you know, the person you are at 25 isn't who you are at 35, isn't who you are at 45. And sometimes it can be a challenge just to find somebody who evolves with you in a way that's cohesive, you know. Same question, Ben. You know, when you think about like some of your friends who are in solid, strong relationships, was it because, oh, dude, I found her so attractive when we first met? Or was it like, you know, I saw her walking her dog? And, you know, what do you think are the more healthy?
I think attraction's a piece, especially when you are younger. But the most solid relationships, when I'm thinking about them, they have the shared hobbies, shared interests, but also shared goals or values. They're walking a similar path, or they tend to vibe kind of at similar frequencies whenever they're hanging out with a group of people. Similar senses of humor, similar communication styles where they talk well.
Now, I know a little bit more about being a man than being a woman just because of my own personal experience. So I feel like you and I resonate in some certain ways. Have you found that with your friends, like, do you find that a lot of your friends develop a type, or do you find that when there's a new person on their arm, sometimes it's vastly different from people that were on their arm before?
That's so dependent on the person. I think some people do have types and are seeking certain people, or they kind of have a checklist and, you know, try to fit everybody into boxes, you know. And having similar hobbies, I think a lot of my friends that I see in good relationships make sure that they do have those shared hobbies, or they get that significant other into the hobby that they really enjoy or spend a lot of time doing. So, you know, some people do have types and some don't.
Well, that's, you know, that's interesting. We'll revisit that in a little bit as far as shared hobbies and adopting hobbies. Dr. Knighton, you know, there's a euphemism that goes, men fall in love with women they're attracted to, and women are attracted to the men they fall in love with. Listening to what Ben and Amanda have shared and kind of considering that, you know, what clinically are the healthiest attractors when it comes to solvent and healthy relationships?
Well, probably what their attachment styles are.
Okay. Yeah, now I've heard a little bit about that. Why don't you expand on that for us a little bit, what that means in an attachment style?
Well, there's a secure attachment, which is what we're looking for. And if somebody wasn't raised with secure attachment, which basically means both parents were good parents and pretty solid, you can, what's called an earned secure attachment, you can develop it as an adult. If you don't have that kind of attachment, you can develop an anxious, an avoidant, or a disorganized attachment. A lot of times, anxious will seek an avoidant because the anxious needs to be a little more avoidant. The avoidant needs to be a little more anxious, both in the best way possible. But the loop that they get into is a challenge because the one starts pursuing and the other starts running away.
Oh, that is so amazingly insightful. I mean, that touches on, you know, something that my own personal therapist was sharing with me just a few weeks back or whatever. And to hear you immediately hit on that, that's just a great thing for people to kind of absorb and maybe reflect upon. So, you know, the avenues available now for people to meet are so vastly different. Like, I like to make the joke that, you know, I might try out Tinder because that's how my grandparents met. And the truth is, obviously, that's not the way it worked. It's totally different now. You know, it used to be that all relationships were kind of organic measure. And now in this world of cyber connectivity, there's other avenues available for people to meet and to connect. I actually know a couple that's been together for like 8 or 9 years that met playing Yahtzee with friends from different parts of the country and ended up moving, you know, to being in a common location. But now, once again, kind of, you know, mapping back to the successful relationships that you've been witness to, do you find that people have more success in quality relationships through organic meets or through taking advantage of some of these other cyber activities and opportunities that are available now. Amanda, how do you feel?
Gosh, I feel like this split really is 50-50. I know a lot of people that have very successful relationships that have met online unexpectedly, and they got married and have had kids and have bought houses together. And then I also know some people that have met organically that have created beautiful relationships. So I really do believe it depends on the person and the mutual understanding of both people in that scenario meeting. And
So how about maybe taking the same question from the reverse polarity of it, in that when you say the successful relationships you've been witness to kind of come 50-50, now think about the unsuccessful relationships. Would you say that in the relationships that have been unsuccessful, there's a variance between percentage from organic and online meeting?
I do. Okay. I think from my perspective, the ones that I've seen that have been less successful have been those meetings online or without meeting them organically. You're not really getting to know the person's energy and who they are. You know, I think there are a lot of things that you cannot know about a person until you meet them in person.
Sure. Yeah.
So you can build any type of relationship online with somebody by talking and creating, you know, learning about somebody by talking, but you really don't know somebody until you see them in person and you see their actions and how, you know, are the actions aligning with the words that they have spoken.
Definitely valid. I could definitely see that because, again, you can build a narrative much better when you have a lot of free time to think about what each message should say. Ben, same question though. You know, again, when it comes to the men that you hang out with, do you find that most of them have met their girlfriends in an organic fashion, or a lot of them are taking advantage of the online opportunities that have become available?
Well, like Amanda was saying, I think it's dependent on the person and the type of person they are. If I were to generalize, I'd almost say that an extroverted person being online is going to maybe find more superficial, shallow kind of visual relationships versus the introverts. I think the online apps space might be great for that person that doesn't get out and meet people on a regular basis.
Yeah, no, there's validity to that as well. Again, looking at more of like a psychological and clinical perspective, Dr. Knighton, what have you seen happen with the culture when it comes to the dating intimate space with the introduction of all of these online opportunities to connect?
If they can get in person as soon as possible, if they can only use email and texting for pragmatic, where are we going to meet and when, and not go on and on because there's no emotional tone there, there's no sense of the other person. The best they could do is get on a video call where they can hear and see the other person and drop into a space together instead of just superficialities and talk about what's really important to them and see if their feelings come online. You can't fake those even online.
Yeah.
But get in person as soon as possible, and then it's the most possible. The challenge is that there's so much comparison and the social media piece of everybody's so glamorous and I'm so ugly and stupid that we do a lot of comparing and judging others that way under the same yardstick before we even get to know them. So I think deferring that kind of yardstick measurement and starting with what you connect around.
So it might be, you know, it might be an honest, kind of like a healthy thought for people who do take advantage of online opportunities is to just set a limit of maybe, hey, you know, 6 or 7 messages with this person to create an in-person meet and, you know, have just kind of a solid non-negotiable boundary that helps you stay on track with what you're trying to accomplish. You know, I think that's a great place to stop now when we're talking about attraction and courting. When we come back, we're going to talk about what we do now that we've kind of gotten past that initial I'm attracted to this person phase, and how do we determine whether this is somebody we should grow towards a deeper connection with and a deeper commitment with. So again, you've got it at right on the middle of it with Toshi, and we're on 97.1 KSPT. We'll talk to you in a couple minutes.
Step inside the YMCA and you'll feel it right away. This place is different. It's where kids take their first swim and retirees feel stronger than ever. Where teens find mentors and parents find a moment to breathe. It's where basketball games and book clubs happen under the same roof. And where every you've got this means more, because it's backed by a community that truly cares. Here, your goals collide with support. Your passions meet opportunity. and your story becomes part of something bigger. Discover a welcoming fitness center, group classes that energize, personal training that empowers, sports that unite, and child watch with caregivers you can trust. And right now is the perfect time to join. Now through March 15th, we're waiving the join fee up to an $88 savings. Join online at ymcainw.org. Join the Y today. There's no place like this place.
New 2026 merch is arriving daily, and the showrooms are packed. At 16 cents, three shoes and five socks. Score huge savings right now. Lift chairs starting at $3.99. Big beautiful sectionals starting at $7.99. Refresh your entire home with unbeatable deals in every room. Spring air mattresses on sale, $500 off. Ask about 12-month no-interest financing on approved credit. All at 16 cents. At 16cents.com. We're the furniture store with the story. What's yours?
Get ready for Vibe's best internet offers ever. Right now, plans like our Vibe Gig Internet is just $50 a month with everything included. Unlimited data, all your equipment, two-year price lock, and whole home Wi-Fi powered by Eero. Plus, get a $200 gift card when you buy online. But don't wait. These unbeatable offers won't last forever. Visit ViveBroadband.com today to sign up. Offer ends March 31st. Limited to new qualified residential customers. Certain installations, activation, taxes, and fees extra. Visit ViveBroadband.com for all restrictions.
At Fred's, discover the largest selection of in-stock, get-it-today inventory in our region. Express your personal style with GE Cafe. Modern colors with sleek custom hardware to accent any stylish kitchen. Save up to $3,000 with a cafe package rebate. Plus, save up to an additional $800 with an exclusive Buy More, Save More rebate. Customize your kitchen style and take advantage of special savings today at Fred's Appliance. We sell appliances. Only appliances.
Since 1990, Brown's Northside Machine and Gear has been your local diesel and heavy equipment expert, serving the logging, trucking, and construction industry. They stock InstaChange and carry the reliable Deca line of batteries. Stop by the shop located on Triangle Drive behind the Bonner Mall. Their ASC-certified master mechanics can help keep your equipment on the road all winter long. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, Fridays until 6. Brown's Northside Machine and Gear.
News Talk 97.1
KSPT KBFI. All right, welcome back to Right in the Middle of It with Toshi on 97.1 KSPT. I'm talking with three amazing people, Amanda, Ben, and Dr. Knighton, about the dynamics of the intimate and dating space between men and women and the challenges that sometimes we face in those areas. One challenge that seems to be noticeable in the dating space is learning where to compromise, where to set boundaries, and most importantly, how to remain true to your identity while making appropriate space for a new person in your life. I think earlier you touched on your friends kind of doing what their girlfriend's doing or vice versa, you know, finding things that they can do together. How do you see that playing out in a healthy way, in a way to where now we aren't adopting just all of one person's traits and personalities, but finding that cohesion? What do you find has been successful for people in that dynamic, Ben?
Knowing yourself, if you know yourself down to your core, you can, you know, agree and reach out and or span yourself into different areas that might interest you. But yeah, I think if you know yourself well, you can tag a little bit of somebody else onto you without really losing yourself.
Well, you know, that reminds me of something, Nolan Ryan said, you know, the pitcher who was the Ryan Express or whatever, but they, interviewer asked him one summer, or one winter, you know, how are you working on your curveball this off season? And Ryan's response was, I don't throw 100-mile-an-hour fastball by working on my curveball. And I think Ben touched on something important there, knowing that oneself, right? So from a clinical standpoint, Dr. Knighton, isn't it most important, would you find that it's more important to work on your fastball, to work on yourself before integrating the curve and before trying to embrace a new dynamic in your life?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you want a good relationship, then figure out how to stay regulated when you're in conflict.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Because if you can stay steady, that's attractive actually, because more than anything, your partner wants to feel safe. if you can't feel safe, you don't even begin a relationship. You never want to see that person again.
I like that thought. You know, again, I like Ben kind of opening up in that way. You know, again, kind of just setting back to that, Amanda, what have you seen as being, you know, healthy patterns that your friends exhibit when integrating someone new into their life? Like, is 4 days of contact a week too much? Is 2 days not enough? How does that kind of balance out from the female perspective?
I think it's different for everybody. I think I have some friends that like to see their new partner, potential partner, every day, and then others still need that personal space of, you know, maybe a couple times a week as we build this relationship. So I think it's different for everybody. I've seen kind of both ends of the spectrum. I think a lot of it plays into the type of person that people are. Some people, you know, their love languages. Are they quality time? Are they acts of service? Are they physical touch? So I think that will depend on the amount of time that somebody wants to spend getting to know somebody else. How much time do they want to spend with them?
How does it play out clinically, right? You've got a person who has had a set rhythm and schedule to their weekly activities, and they've been doing it alone for a while and things are going well.
Yeah.
And now they do find someone that they definitely want to learn more about and maybe share more of themselves with.
Yeah.
How does that, you know, how does that transition work in a positive and productive way?
It's time to stretch. Because you're going to want to have community support. You're going to want to have service that you do in the community. Both of you are going to want to make sure that you have solid friends that are same-sex friends. You're going to want shared values. And so that person likes to be alone, but that can quickly turn into a feeling of looking like they're isolated if they're not stretching toward the middle. And the other person is going to need to stretch and do the same thing and be a little bit more comfortable being alone and not feeling lonely and being dependent on the other person to be their best friend as well as their partner.
I appreciate that. Yeah. You know, I don't know if this is true, but maybe you can speak to this. It seems like, and when I talk to some of my friends about this, it seems like there's kind of a rhythm in some mid stages of relationships where when we're new in a relationship, there's this kind of like fear of rejection that causes you to lean into the things that you perceive as being common factors. And you think, oh man, this person is so special because we have these similar interests and this has just been so magical. And both people put a lot of effort into holding that space. And then as time goes on, you start to be more and more comfortable with the person you're spending time with. For lack of a better word, you start to recess into what you're most true identity, what your most authentic person is. And then the next thing you know, you're sitting on the couch and you're looking at each other going,
roommates.
What are we doing here with each other?
Yeah.
So, again, what is like, what makes us that way? What makes us
well,
lean into the good in the beginning?
Yeah. Well, we lean into the good, first of all, because we're usually, you know, blown wide open and, just all bets are off. Everything sort of gets bracketed about who we are because we're trying to do impression management. We're trying to put on our best game face at every moment, and it's exhausting and you can't keep that up, right? But we really want to impress. And so can we start to get to the place where, you know, Ben was saying our identity can still come forward so we can merge with the other person, but we still have our identity. And this is a tricky thing where we don't get enmeshed. We don't become enabling. We stay ourselves, but we can also be completely in a fusion state with them.
That's great. Yeah. That's again, the insights being shared in this room. It's a blessing to have you here. You're very articulate and, you're on top of it.
Stealing from these guys.
Well, and I understand, but I mean, and again, it, you know, again, it just reflects upon like what Ben was saying that, you know, you've got to kind of master yourself. You've got to master your fastball and then integrate into the other opportunities. And,
just a quick note on that. Khalil Gibran has a beautiful book called The Prophet.
Oh, of course.
And he says, we always think about our weakest link, but how about if we try to focus on our strongest link?
Yeah. A lot of validity to that too. You're right. We mourn our losses with more passion than we celebrate some of our victories.
Well, and we're wired for hypervigilance for survival. That's what our body it originally is made for, but let's develop some bliss.
So what you're saying is it isn't necessarily our fault.
What I'm saying is there's no fault or blame in any relationship.
No looking to assign
if we can get over that part and understand there's good intentions and we're just misinterpreting, then we can go pretty far.
Yeah. Well, so let's lighten things up a little bit, Amanda. You know, instead of kind of looking at what we consider to be red flags in a new dynamic, what is it that women overwhelmingly see as being those green flags when going from the inception of a relationship to this is somebody I really want to kind of open up a heart space for? Mm. What are the things that women are like, oh man, this is a common theme that why we like men?
I think currently a theme for where I'm at right now and from all the women that I talk to is emotional availability. I think access to social media has really diminished people's availability. It's getting spread so thin in so many areas that women are unable to see men show up emotionally available, like just for them. I think that's the biggest thing. And then honesty, kindness, depth. Women want depth. They want to be able to be understood and seen and heard. And I think we're just entering into this era where social media has so changed that for so many women looking currently.
So let's try to be helpful, right? You know, when working with the other side. From the perspective of a man, Ben, why is it, do you think, that we are perceived as being emotionally unavailable?
It might boil down to communication style and the way that we go about feeling our feelings and talking about our feelings. You know, I think as a guy, it's probably a little harder to talk about your feelings and showcase those because you got to keep a stern face and do all the things and take care of everything. So I think a lot of the times, if I'm just generalizing, it might be that kind of miss in communication style.
Yeah, that's definitely a struggle. I when I was kind of doing like my man of the street interviews, I found that a lot of women felt that men could come across and represent as being like aloof, you know, just inconsistent in attention and engagement. And then, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, you know, I felt like a lot of men kind of felt like women can be reckless, whether that means just kind of being insolvent with their own emotional placement or insolvent when it comes to just understanding the financial aspects of how life works from month to month and everything. I don't know. Is that something that you've experienced as where, what would you say would be kind of like the reverse attractor when it comes to that dynamic?
The reverse attractor, like the red flags?
Well, yeah, just like in that one case, you know, as we're talking about like what would be kind of the one thing that commonly men complain about, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, I would say kind of the roller coaster of emotions or lack of connections that they have with family and friends or lack of passions of their own sort of thing.
So, Dr. Knighton, it sounds like on one wavelength or another, both are yearning for a level of like stability. Inside of those?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Well, and stability and balance would be the other word. You know, you can see the polarity there. One feels the other is over emotional. The other feels the other is under emotional. So how does a woman help a man express emotion in a way where he still feels safe? He doesn't have to be completely blown wide open. And how does a man help a woman feel a little bit more like there's a sense of restraint, but in a way that's not suppression for emotion, but there's pure deep emotion that gets expressed that he can really meet.
And ultimately, and just, you know, in one sentence, in one word, if you need, it's worth the work, right? Like the reward for getting to this space where we cohesively form these good, strong, committed relationships. It's definitely worth the work, wouldn't you say?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of the main reasons we're on the planet is to be attracted to something that's so different than we are. So we can integrate that in ourselves and become each one of us become whole. So one and one makes three instead of like a half and a half makes one.
There's something very, very deeply spiritual about that thought. Why don't we go ahead and just marinate on that for a few moments and we'll come back and we'll finish things off talking about how to reset when ultimately sometimes things don't end up working out. So we've got it on right in the middle of it with Toshi on 97.1 KSPT.
One of the best things about winter in North Idaho is bird watching. Get a close-up view of our local feathered friends when you provide them with birdseed and suet from the co-op. Choose a brightly colored feeder, fill it with seed, and hang it near sliding doors or windows. Chickadees, nuthatches, sparrows, and house finches, among others, will appear at your bird feeders over time. In the spring, add hummingbird feeders to the lineup for year-round enjoyment. The co-op stocks a wide variety of birdseed, nut and berry foods, nutrient-dense suet and suet feeders, as well as a great selection of beautiful feeder options. They can hang just about anywhere and are easily filled and enjoyed. Make birdwatching your new favorite winter pastime with products from the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820, and on the web at coopgasandsupply.com.
Whether you're happy that you don't have to shovel or you're bummed that you don't get to ski, come in to 113 Main. This is Justin Dick, owner of 113 Main, inviting you to get out of your winter blues and join us for lunch or dinner 7 days a week. Coming in for our brisket burger, lobster mac and cheese, Chilean sea bass with homemade gnocchi, or one of our mini handcrafted cocktails, we've got you covered. Visit 113mainsandpoint.com or call us to make a reservation.
Summer is on its way. Think sunshine and adventure. Stop at Wheels and Waves in Sagal, Idaho on Highway 95 in Algoma Place. We have a huge selection of quality used cars, trucks, motorcycles, and boats. Roadway or waterways, find your fun at wheelsandwaves.com.
Wow, Sarah, these window coverings are gorgeous. Did you guys do this yourself?
No way. It's all Hunter Douglas. My local expert came to our home, brought samples, and helped us see everything in our actual light, then measured perfectly and handled the installation.
If you're planning a remodel, moving into a new home, or simply ready to elevate how your space feels, North Idaho Blinds, Shades, and Shutters, your neighborhood Hunter Douglas expert, offers custom, beautifully crafted window treatments thoughtfully designed for life. Whether it's blinds, shades, shutters, or drapes, our products fit your windows perfectly. And with smart home options, you control the light and privacy with a tap or on schedule. Hunter Douglas window treatments are an investment in quality, backed by a lifetime limited warranty and ongoing support from your trusted local expert, North Idaho Blinds, Shades, and Shutters. Call now to schedule your free in-office design consultation. Call 208-264-3292. 208-264-3292. 208-264-3292.
News Talk 97.1.
Pull me out of this grave so the skeleton can let go.
Welcome back to Right in the Middle of It with Toshi on 97.1 KSPT. In our final segment, we're going to just talk very briefly about what you would almost call failure and reset. You know, at the end of the day, as we've all experienced, every intimate relationship that a person is in, with the exception of one, is going to end. So how do we find a way to embrace each experience as a building block for finding our way to that everlasting love? So what do you find that in that first kind of, that first traumatic moment after a relationship ends, what do you find is the common reaction from women and how they try to triage themselves in that moment?
That's a good question. I would say reconnecting with their girlfriends. Women like to talk, so trying to make sense of maybe what went wrong. So whether you go to therapy to understand the role that you played in the misunderstanding or what happened, I think a lot of women like to make sense of their world and understand how it got there. So women end up finding a way to talk about it.
Sure.
To navigate.
And I think, you know, when we think back to the last segment, the articulation of reconnect would suggest that sometimes when we get deep into relationships, again, we lose our identity. We lose our space of having those other influences, those other sound, you know, voices of reason in our life and everything. I have a good friend who might be listening, so we'll just call him Dutch. And he told me he takes what he calls the brown box, kind of brown box analogy. And that is, after a relationship is freshly new and he's in that trauma, the first thing he does is just focuses on it, stares at it, kind of absorbs the details as best he can. And then from there, kind of takes those details and puts them into an indiscriminate brown, you know, UPS box and sets that, conceptually just sets that box out in the middle of the desert and just starts to walk in a new direction. Because sometimes it's okay to look back, but you know, it's best not to stare. And if you get further enough away and you're working in that positive direction, when you look back, there's no details. It's just landscape. You know, and so again, I would think that that, for what I feel is kind of a representation of one of the male approaches to, you know, triaging those moments. But as we're trying to, you know, pick up the pieces and reassess and move forward, what are the healthiest patterns and behaviors for a person to explore, Dr. Knighton?
Well, men, or at least the masculine in us, does tend to compartmentalize. And sometimes that's even the way we choose our partners is, and we sort of contextualize and compartmentalize them. But the idea would be to see if you can not look at a woman the way that you look at your job opportunities, for example. But men, sometimes unconsciously, a lot more unfortunately than you'd think, are doing that. And they're not necessarily aware of it. So dropping that and understanding that this is a completely unknown situation and being able to live in uncertainty is the first thing that can be helpful for a guy. Unboxing can be helpful. Not necessarily walking away from that box, but you know, when you're, I would just say for both parties, when you're with your partner, be completely open, be completely new. When you walk away from them, forget everything you think you know about them, what their face looks like, their voice, all their interests and their hobbies, and because that also helps you forget all the things that you didn't like. And that also gives them the opportunity to grow maximally before you see them again. And so I always encourage that kind of erasure. And then come back and you're surprised.
Well, okay, so and then you mentioned see them again. So, you know, again, when you're living in a huge community, when there's 11 million people in your city, seeing them again happens less often than it would in obviously a smaller community. And, you know, I've kind of heard that, you know, it's healthy to try to fix your friends. It's not as healthy to try to fix your lovers. That's got to be kind of on themselves to get into. And it can be a challenge to, you know, to kind of work, because you see it where people do that thing where they're together for 6 months and then they don't talk for 3 months and then they're together for 9 months and then they take 2 months off and you see them do this dance back and forth, you know, over time. Does that ever merit success? Like, does that ever work out?
Well, generally what they're doing is they're looping and they're triggering each other enough to the point where they have to take a break and try to recalibrate. And they don't have the skills developed to do that in vivo. And so they're just needing to take that break. And it doesn't actually work because they end up just being exhausted.
Yeah.
And what happens is when the love part and the attraction part wears off, actually they start looking less attractive to each other. It's really interesting. And it's not very great.
Yeah. Oh, well, then let's, you know what, let's just leave that where it is and let it hang there and let's not get any deeper into that, you know. Let's try to find that solutions-oriented approach. And this is just something I took down as a note because I don't have any practical understanding myself. But is oxytocin a thing? Is oxytocin withdrawal something that people go through? Is there any story there?
You know, all of those neurochemicals are way downstream of consciousness. That's probably the quickest and easiest way to say it. Consciousness trumps everything. So what you're thinking is what develops into the bloodstream. Downstream, the thoughts are first, the feelings come next, the behavior and the physiology comes third. We often think that we're so materialistic in our thinking now, but consciousness is the most powerful tool that we have. And so I would just stick with thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's definitely something that we can latch on to and appreciate. Again, just incredibly grateful for the people who've shared their time and their space, their energy with us to kind of talk about how we can foster more effective connections in that space. You know, really appreciate the perspective that you've brought to the room, Ben, as well as you, Amanda, and I think Dr. Knighton. I think that you've been so pragmatic and wise that everybody who's had the opportunity to hear this is going to take something very positive away from it. So I wanted to just kind of take a quick moment to look at what you do, Amanda, and what you do, Edmund, in the recovery and repair space through different means, which is to say that, you know, as you just touched on, everything is downstream from consciousness and your focus is, or I shouldn't assume your focus, but, you know, your training is tinkering with the psychological aspects of the human psyche. You know, are you at a place in your life where your practice is open and accepting new people? Like, or do you have a resource? Where would you guide people if, after listening to you today, you really turn on a couple light bulbs and they want to go down that path and learn more?
Yeah, I do. I do have an open practice. I work here locally. I work with couples and individuals. I'm also trained as a family system, so I work with kids when that's helpful. And I work in a way that I would say it's multimodal. So my degree is in transpersonal clinical psychology. So I include the spiritual component in the work, the religious component that people bring. And I'm also trained in something called Hakomi, which is a somatic, it's an embodied intelligence. And the idea is that the body stores all of the trauma, all of the memory, and a lot of it is pre-verbal. And so that can be worked early, and it can be worked somatically because it is pre-verbal.
And, do you have like a website? Do you have, how would somebody find you if they were looking to?
I mean, they could just call me.
Okay.
512-409-5555.
Yeah.
Super simple. I the whole website thing, I used to have a website. I used to have all these different, and I just thought, you know, I'm pretty turned off to anything on the web at this point. And so I would rather just have a direct conversation with somebody to see if I'm a fit for them and I can support what they need.
So if you didn't get that number as it went by, one of the things that is beneficial here is that every show that we do is archived on the website. So you can just pull this show back up, listen to the last 2.5 minutes, grab Dr. Knighton's number, and then maybe spend some time with him. Why don't you give us that number just one more time, Dr. Knighton?
Sure. It's 512-409-5555.
So now turning to you, Amanda, again, you know, we talked about how everything you hear gets filtered through electronics, and as a byproduct, it loses that vibration of sound. And vibration of sound moves through your body, and it's kind of like it gives a little, you know, relaxing scratch on the back to every little cell within you. And you tell us a little bit more, because again, I was reading up on what your practice is, and it involves, you know, crystal sound bowls and creating vibrations. Tell us about the physical benefits of approaching restoring the body in that way.
Sure. So frequency healing or sound healing is using crystal bowls specifically. I have other instruments as well, but they are tuned to 432 hertz frequency, which is said to be Earth's natural frequency. So whenever I play the bowls and they emit the sound and emit the frequency as my clients are laying there, and it is designed to put you in the theta state. So dropping you from the sympathetic to the parasympathetic system specifically, our body is experiencing the frequency to the cellular level. So what happens is our cells, it's a thing called entrainment, where our body wants to mimic the frequency that it's hearing to the cellular level. So emitting that same frequency. So the entrainment happens.
There's proven science to back up the benefits of what you do. So before we go out, just very quickly, how do people find the Luna Alchemy Company?
I am on social media, so Facebook, Instagram, and then I just have a website, thelunaalchemy.co.
Okay. Well, I, again, want to say thank you to my three amazing guests. Dr. Knighton, feel free to bill me for all that amazing.
Only if you get a partner.
all that amazing insight that you gave us today. This is right in the middle of it with Toshi. We are signing out on 97.1 KSPT. Be kind and courteous to strangers. Remind those who are value to you how much you love them. And we'll talk to you soon.